This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.UIUC.EDU. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon. And today, we welcome your questions for registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. Susan joins us on the first Monday of the month to talk about diet, nutrition, and exercise. So if you'd like to talk with her, give us a call. Here are the numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public. She's an adjunct lecturer with the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and she's a frequent contributor to magazines on health and fitness. She's also the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. Questions about diet, nutrition, and exercise, they are welcome this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Good to see you. Well, how's your summer going?
It's going well. It's kind of nice to have it a little bit cool today, I have to say. A little cooler, I should say.
A little cooler. Yeah. Well, we've got one more month before Labor Day.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine.
And many of us are going to do some traveling in this last full month of summer. And, you know, often when you're traveling, your options for eating are limited. You might be at an airport, on an airplane, on a bus, on a train, so on and so forth. And so you're hungry, and your options are often fast food restaurants or maybe less fast franchise restaurants. General advice for sorting through the choices that these venues offer you.
Yeah, well, I do think that you can generally find pretty good choices places if you go in with an open mind and keep a couple things in mind. One of them is definitely portions, because I'm afraid the supersize and the biggie everything and those kinds of things, for the most part, most of us really just don't need that amount of food. And when you get into those large amounts of food, particularly the really large fries and that kind of stuff, that's where they add up. You know, for example, a lot of restaurants, the small French fry is around 200, maybe 250 calories. But those biggie ones or the extra large are often over 600 calories. And most of that is fat.
So just for the fries.
Right, just for the fries. And, you know, if you put that into perspective, again, for most of us, probably, you know, the typical person doesn't probably need more than 2,000 calories a day unless they're working out hard or younger or that kind of thing. And so, you know, you think just that biggie fry is really a third of what you should eat for the whole day. So you do have to think about portions. So I think that's the first thing. If you go in and if you get a small hamburger and a small fry and even you get a regular soda, but it's small, that's really not too bad someplace. Obviously, the other things you want to keep in mind, anywhere you can go where you can get food that's not fried, that's great, because as soon as you fry, deep fat fry something, often you'll double the calories and certainly add on that extra fat. And so if you can get grilled chicken sandwiches and get the sauces on the side, or usually barbecue or honey mustard are pretty low calorie sauces as opposed to mayo. So ask for the barbecue on the side and get your grilled chicken sandwich, and then think about different other options for sides. For example, you know, one of my favorite places to go is Wendy's, because you can get chili on the side, and that chili at Wendy's is very low fat, high protein, high fiber. So it's just a really great side. And the baked potatoes you can get there with a little bit of sour cream and chive are very low fat, very high in nutrients. And so right there you got two options. You can get a side salad, place like that, and then you try to get a sandwich that's grilled, again, grilled chicken or just a single burger. And then your meal really is not too bad. And one thing I like about a place like Wendy's, too, is you can get the really little frosty. And that's the thing to think about. Even at McDonald's, you can get sometimes the kid sizes of things, or you can get those little milks now. Or so you can consider what you're drinking as well to add the nutrients. And I think one thing, when we travel, we probably miss out on calcium because we often don't drink as much milk because we don't have it around. And so most of the restaurants now, you can get the small milks or small chocolate milk or something like that too, which adds a lot of nutrition to the meal.
Yeah. A number of fast food outfits now offer quite a range in salads, but it's kind of a tricky thing.
Right.
There's a taco salad that you can get at Taco Bell that packs almost 900 calories.
Exactly.
So I suppose it depends to a large extent on what you have on the salad. What do you think of some of the other salad options, say, at McDonald's? They've introduced a number of salads recently.
Yeah, I think those are really can be really great options. I think one thing you need to look at is how's the if there's chicken on it or if there's meat on it, how's that prepared? So many of the salads have grilled chicken on them
instead
at McDonald's and other places.
Strips, okay.
Right. So right away, that's a lot healthier. And then some of them that have the the dressing options, the regular dressing on a lot of those salads is just regular salad dressing, which could be 200, 300, even 400 calories. And so if you can get the light or the fat-free dressing right away, then you've cut out a lot of that extra fat. So that's helpful, too. And then consider the additions. You know, some of them have the crispy noodles that you add on, maybe the mandarin salads or extra nuts, and you may or may not need those extra calories. And so just be aware of that as well. But I think the salads have been a great addition. And in a place like McDonald's that now has a fruit and walnut salad or where you can get the parfaits, yogurt parfaits with some fruit in there. That's just great because we never used to be able to find the fruits or the apple dippers or mandarin orange slices as a side. And so, you know, the big thing I think about eating a meal is you try to balance it. That's really the key. So you think if there is an option for a fruit, let me go for it. I had a client the other day, and he eats at the same place. It's not in Champaign, so it's nowhere I've ever eaten before, but the same place for breakfast every day. And I asked him, I said, well, do you think maybe you could get a fruit cup just as a side? And he said, well, I've never seen that. I've never thought of it, but I'll ask. And he did ask, and sure enough, now he's getting a fruit cup with his breakfast just because it is available, but people just weren't ordering it.
Yeah. At the same time, though, you mentioned Biggie's, and I've seen ads now for hamburgers that are 3-4 patties plus bacon and cheese.
Right.
And, you know, the hard part is if you're really, really hungry, and there you are, and there it is up on the board. And
right.
Suddenly that yogurt is like the farthest thing from your mind.
That yogurt's not looking too good then, but that's where you might want to think. At least, even if you want fries, you're better off just getting a small fry, getting your regular sandwich. Unfortunately, sometimes what happens is you think, well, gosh, it's actually cheaper if I went that Biggie meal.
Yeah.
But you really do have to think, gosh, that's a lot of extra, particularly a lot of extra fat and calories that you probably don't need to take in. Even some of the leaner options that you'd think are pretty lean are going to be pretty high in fat, too. And that's the main thing we're concerned about. Of course, sodium is an issue, too. So if high blood pressure is a concern, then most fast food places are going to be very salty. So you have to really watch that.
You know, a number of these restaurants have on their menus, you know, they'll have healthier options. Or if you're in a sit-down restaurant with a menu in your hands, they'll have little icons maybe that, you know, like a smiling heart or something. I don't know.
Right.
Are those, in fact, good bets? When you sit down and, you know, you're much better prepared than the rest of us to size those up.
I think generally they are. I mean, the thing you might want to keep an eye out on, some of the restaurants will also have low-carb options. And some of those, if you're on a real low-carb diet, that may be what you look for right away. And sometimes people will think, well, that must be one of the healthiest options. But occasionally I've looked at that and it's a steak and it's cheese on top and it's low carb, but it may be, you know, it may be half a cup of fat in that meal. And so that's something you think if you're looking for healthy, don't just look for low carb, because that might be low carb but have nothing to do with what's healthy. And so definitely it might say heart health option, or some of the restaurants that have exchanges on them that say, this is not too high in fat, and this gives you protein and a vegetable, and that's helpful, too. And there are places, you know, one of the restaurants I reviewed recently was Chili's, because it's a pretty popular restaurant with a lot of college athletes I work with, too. And so we looked at that, and there are a lot of options there that are actually better than most of the fast food places, too. And they have what's called the guiltless sandwiches, some of those like guiltless chicken and guiltless grilled salmon meal and those kinds of things. And looking at the nutrition information on a lot of those, some of the meals, it's about 10 or 15 grams of fat. That's only 2 or 3 teaspoons. So that's really, really good. And they have them marked that way. And those were really, I thought, very reasonable option when you're looking at the meal. And the other thing you can look at with that is the preparation again. If the item is generally, if it's grilled, if it's roasted, if it's baked, if it's broiled, then your chances are just so much better of having good option for that meal or a healthier meal altogether.
Yeah. Now, when you look at, walk through this with us. If you're looking at calories, you want to look at fat calories and saturated fat calories.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to look at what kind of protein you're
right.
getting and what else is in the meal.
Right.
So
right.
how do we make sense of that?
Well, one thing that's helpful, and a lot of times, again, depending upon where you're eating, you may or may not have the actual nutrition information right there. There are a lot of websites that have it now, and I've got information on a new book. I just got this information about this book, so maybe we can talk about that later, too. It looks kind of good to go through. But if you've got that available, one thing you can do is just compare, particularly if you're exercising, trying to stay healthy and fit, and you do need a little bit more protein in those cases, then one thing you can do is kind of compare the protein to fat. So what I've done in some of these items that I've looked at recently is compared how many grams of protein does something have compared to the grams of fat, and then given that a ratio or a number. So the higher, the better. It's got more protein compared to the fat it has. So, for instance, if you look at something like chilies with this Cadillac chicken fajitas, for example, it has 680 calories in that meal. So that's probably again reasonable for the whole meal. 52 grams of protein, but only 14 grams of fat. So that ratio is about 3.7, which is pretty high. So for what you're eating, you're getting good quality. One thing I try to tell my athletes I work with is if you're going to order something, it should really be quality for your muscle. I mean, you really don't want to go and spend $4 or $5 on something that's really not going to really help you as an athlete. So the higher quality fuel you can get for that money, the better. And so if that means you go and you get 2 grilled chicken sandwiches as opposed to a double cheeseburger, biggie fry, and a soda, mm-hmm. it might be the same money, but the quality of what you've got there is actually muscle fuel. It's more quality protein, less fat. So as an athlete, that's going to help you. And I think just in general, when we just try to stay healthier, that's what we can think of too, because that's going to be a better bet.
Okay. Registered dietitian Susan Kundrat is with us this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. Listeners, you can join us with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Our first caller this afternoon is on line one, a listener in Urbana. Hi. Hello there? Listener in Urbana, are you there? Okay. Maybe they will call us back. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. So how did you come up, what's the math here on the ratio?
The math is to take the grams of protein and divide that over the grams of fat. So here's another example. Let's say Kentucky Fried Chicken, which is a pretty popular place. If you look at something like a tender roast chicken breast sandwich, the protein is 31 grams, the fat is 5. And in your mind, you can always think, well, 5 grams of fat is about a teaspoon or a pat of butter. So when I recently did this review, I took it into calories, protein, fat, pats of butter, because that's what people understand what it looks like, and then the ratio. For example, that meal or that sandwich is 6.2. So there's 6 times the protein as fat in that sandwich. And you can even take it a step further. You can look, and some of these meals I put together were for athletes, so they're higher calorie meals. But let's say, for example, if you got a roast or 2 roast chicken breasts, 2 drumsticks, now this sounds like a lot, a side of mac and cheese, green beans, corn on the cob, that's a lot of meal. That's a lot of food, yeah. I know, but for some athletes it's not so much. That's about 1,200 calories. It's 106 grams of protein, which is a lot, 44 grams of fat,
wow.
which is at least eight or nine teaspoons or pats of butter, but the ratio is 2.4. So that's actually not too bad of a ratio. You still get 2.5 times the protein as fat for what you're eating. But on the other hand, you could get an order of popcorn chicken, 6 honey barbecue wings, which a lot of people like those, barbecue wings, 2 biscuits and potato wedges, and that's 1,700 calories. It's only 69 grams of protein, but 96 grams of fat. Now, 96 grams of fat's almost 20 pats of butter. So if you can imagine that.
Wow.
So the ratio there is 0.7.
That's like a, that must be closing in on a stick or more of butter.
That's right. It's very high. So if you look at that, you think, okay, well, that ratio, and that's what I'm trying to educate some of my athletes on, is what is the ratio? And then if you look at that, which that would be a typical meal for a lot of people to order. They might order the popcorn chicken and then maybe something else that's fried, potato wedges or something, and easily get 1,500 calories and double the fat as protein. So the quality of that meal, not only for health purposes, but if you're trying to stay fit, is very poor. And actually, Kentucky Fried Chicken is a place where you can get some decent sides because, again, you have baked beans, the coleslaw is pretty low fat, the mashed potato is pretty good choice, corn on the cob, exactly, green beans.
Okay. And just to review this, I got a caller waiting for us.
Okay.
Okay. That meal that you mentioned with 106 grams of protein,
yeah,
44 grams of fat.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is you put down 106 on the page, you draw a line and put 44 underneath, so you're dividing 44 into 106.
Right.
That gets your ratio, and a good solid ratio would be in the neck of...
Well, at least two, hopefully.
Range.
I
okay.
mean, at least you have double the protein to fat. Ideally, even more. You know, and if we have time, we can go through some of the other restaurants here, and I can show you okay. why some places really are better places to go more often because you can really bump up that ratio.
Okay, let's talk with a listener in Southern Illinois on line 4. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. What can we do for you today? Hello? You know, I suspect
that. Hello?
Hello? Yes. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
You know what? I know that they've been having problems recently with this studio taking calls during the opening and the pre-opening market report, so I don't know what the situation is. We're having a technical problem, obviously. So if our listeners will bear with us, our control operator, master control operator, and our technical director will put their heads together and see what we can do.
Right.
Okay. So in the meantime, we have a little time here.
Yeah,
Susan.
Okay. Well, and in the meantime, we can talk about a few other places to eat.
Okay.
Because, you know, after reviewing some of these places, you know, you ask what's a good ratio. Well, the higher the better, because the higher the protein to fat, the better. Obviously, other things you look at for the meal is, can you get whole grain? Can you get more vegetables and fruits and things like that? Because this doesn't necessarily address the carbohydrate issue and where you're getting your carbohydrates from. So we still want to look at balancing the meal. But if you go to a place, let's say McDonald's, which is so popular, there aren't that many items that are going to have a high ratio to begin with. For example, we talked about salad. Here's the bacon ranch salad with grilled chicken. If you have it with grilled chicken and you don't, and you have the fat-free dressing on it, that's only 250 calories. It's very low itself, 31 grams of protein, 9 grams of fat. So the ratio is almost 3.5, which is great. And so that's a really good option. The next things on the list at McDonald's are the 1% milk jug, the apples and caramel dip, which some parents I work with will say, gosh, you know, I don't want them to have that because I don't want them to have the caramel dip. Well, it's only 100 calories and you get tons of vitamin C. You know, those apples, places where they're packaged, they have a lot of lemon juice or ascorbic acid, so they have a lot of vitamin C in them, more than regular apples. So that's one benefit of those apple slices that you have too. But even grilled sandwich and those things get into the 1.7, 1.5. And even a regular hamburger is a good choice there. 12 grams of protein, 10 grams of fat. So the ratio is only 1.2. But you look at that and that's still only 10 grams of fat in that sandwich. That's not much. That's only 2 pats of butter.
Okay. So how about this? If you're really hungry and you're there at McDonald's, and instead of having fries, you get 2 hamburgers.
Right. You get 2 hamburgers and you're in much better shape
than if you have a small fry.
Yeah.
And a hamburger.
Exactly. Because that way you get a little bit more protein, a little bit less fat. And if you're looking for foods that might help you stay strong, if you're working out a lot and you need a little additional protein, then that's going to be a helpful option too. So you do look at things, and even breakfast, you know, Egg McMuffins, for example. I just read a big story about the Egg McMuffin and how that originated and everything. It was very interesting, you know, and I think, well, the Egg McMuffin is not too bad of a choice when you're going to eat breakfast. You look at that and that's about 300 calories, 18 grams of protein, but 12 grams of fat. So you've got more protein than fat. It's about a 1.5 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would go and you'd have, for example, and again, this is a lot of calories, but if you'd have 2 egg McMuffins, a large orange juice, and 1% milk. That whole meal is about 950 calories. So for many of us, that's you only need
much,
one egg McMuffin, and that'd make it 650.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But the ratio is 1.7. So again, it's not quite 2, but for other things that you could order, this is actually quite good in terms of the overall quality.
How about that deluxe breakfast where you get egg sausage, pancakes, hash browns, and a biscuit?
Right. I didn't put that on my list, but that might be a little heavy. But you know, again, and the other thing you need to think about is how often you're doing it. You know, some of the athletes I work with in particular, when they don't cook, if they don't cook, say they're college athletes and they're on the move and they really don't cook and they are eating almost every day, they're eating one or two fast food meals, then you think, gosh, even if 3 days a week you didn't have the big breakfast that you normally have, think how that cuts down your fat intake and can really boost. And I think that's where you want to think, too, these what you drink when you go out to eat is a real, can really make or break you. You know, you think if you go to a restaurant, you sit down and you have iced tea, which gives you antioxidants, good quality nutrients, fluid, but really no calories unless you sweeten it with sugar, versus soda. Right there, you could, particularly a place that keeps pouring in extra soda. Those glasses are usually very large to begin with, probably at least 200 calories per glass of soda. And say you fill that up 3 times, there's 600 calories added to your meal. And filling up a glass 3 times through a whole meal is really not that much. So you have to think, yeah, what am I going to take in? And is there anything like orange juice or milk or something that's going to give me some quality nutrients?
Okay. Well, the guys give me a thumbs up here, so we can try it again. Let me invite folks to give us a call. Please bear with us. We'll see if we can work this out here this afternoon. Susan Kundrot is our guest here this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine. And if you would like to give us a call, if you'd like to talk with Susan, give us a call. Here are the numbers, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455-333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Call in and be a guinea pig here for
right.
us, if you would. If you're traveling by car, this is something we've talked a little bit about in the past. You have the option of taking a cooler picnic basket.
Right.
What do you like to pack?
Well, I think when you take a cooler, that certainly is a huge help in a lot of ways. You can get more balanced meals, and it's a lot less expensive. It reminds me of as a kid when we would travel, and we had $5 each a day to spend, and often we would, of course, have meals that were ready, and we'd stop at the rest stops and everything. So that saved a lot of money, especially when you're a kid and you're trying to balance your $5 on a trip. But even, you know, simple things, if it's cool enough, you've got turkey sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, yogurts, which are really great to take. I think those squeezable yogurts are really good for kids on trips, if you can keep those cool. Of course, you can take all kinds of fruit, and you've got things like snacks that might actually work really well, too, trail mix and that kind of stuff that maybe it has a few chocolate chips in it, so you keep it in the cooler so it doesn't melt. And you just have a lot of options, those baby carrot packs that work really well, and you can even have the single-serving dips if you want with those, so that you can stop and you have your sandwich, you have your fruit and your veggie, and you could have the single milk containers or juice containers in there or juice boxes. And I think that is definitely a way to go. I mean, I think anytime we travel, it's just so helpful to find the grocery store if you're going to be somewhere a day or two and at least get a few things. Even if you're just getting fruit to, you know, have as a snack because you wouldn't normally eat any fruit when you're traveling, that's a great help. And so I think doing that and planning ahead is and will save you a lot of money for sure, too. I think sometimes people don't realize. I have a lot of clients who'll tell me, you know, they're kind of glad to be home because they just ate so differently than they were used to eating, and it was hard on their system. They didn't feel good. They were kind of sick to their stomach. And especially if you're not used to eating much fried food and you go and you do start eating a lot of fried food, that can be very difficult to digest because your body's just not used to having those enzymes available, and you can really not feel too well for a few days.
Yeah, and the sodium can be really high.
Right, the sodium can be really high. I mean, it's not unusual in a fast food meal to have the sodium at 2,000 milligrams, which is really we want to stay under that in a day. And so if you do have high blood pressure or any other medical concern where you have to watch sodium, you really need to be aware of that because that can be a real problem too.
Yeah, it's been my experience when I've had to eat at a restaurant that I wouldn't ordinarily choose, and the items are really high in sodium, it seems that I require a lot more water.
Right, you do. Right, you're taking in more sodium and your body's trying to balance out your fluids.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more thirsty because your body's trying, basically your body's trying to keep the balance, you know, in your body right where it needs to be, the sodium level in your fluids. And so if you take in a lot more salt, well, your body's thinking, I need to take in more water to kind of even that out.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's probably a very natural response. In fact, this time of year, particularly with football practices starting, soccer practice, volleyball practice, everything, when we have athletes really sweating a lot, we actually like to give them foods to eat that are salty, partly so they can get some salt back in. For example, typical collegiate football snacks might be pretzels and jerky, and that kind of stuff is going to be really salty because we need them to replace the sodium loss, and it also really makes them drink. So when they're eating those salty foods or salted popcorn or things, and they really want to drink more.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're always pushing athletes when it's so hot and they're sweating so much, particularly these two-a-day practices, to drink more. And it's really hard to drink that much. But if you eat some of those salty foods, boy, you really do want to drink. So
yeah. Now, at the collegiate level, chances are you have a lot more advice from people,
right,
on staff.
Mm-hmm.
How are our high schools doing in terms of athletic activities and keeping kids healthy, mm-hmm, during these, especially now during football? We've got,
right,
football, you got cheerleaders, you got the flag corps,
right,
the marching band,
mm-hmm,
all these kids. How are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think everyone's more aware of it, which is great. I think coaches are more aware. And like you were saying, you know, band and flag and all that's, you can really sweat a lot. And particularly if you have those uniforms on or outfits on. So that's a big issue, too. And I see, I was watching that at the 4th of July parade this year, and how we never used to see, or I don't remember being in band, the parents coming around with water for us. And I think it was just as hot in high school in Iowa as it is here. But, you know, you think about that and I think it's great that the bands have the parents coming along with the water all the time to make sure that they're staying hydrated too. So that's an important issue. And the biggest thing I think that people can do, and particularly high school kids, need to really be reminded that as soon as they get up, they need to start drinking. Because if they're going to have a day where they're going to be outside, mm-hmm, they're going to be training or working or playing, playing in the heat, then they need to start hydrating earlier. You know, most of us wake up and we're a pound or two down at least. And so a pound is 16 ounces of fluid. And so generally when we wake up, we want to drink at least 16 ounces and preferably 32 just to get our bodies sort of back up to where they need to be. And I find that the kids who never start drinking in the day, those are the ones who tend to have a lot more trouble with dehydration. Because even if you think you get your fluid up early and then you just try to replace,
mm-hmm,
it's a lot easier than being behind when you start a practice or when you start a workout.
Yeah, and some of these kids are getting up really early in the, mm-hmm, morning for that early morning, and then after school,
right,
there's going to be another activity. So you really got to prepare for this.
Exactly. I mean, you want to think that you're drinking early. You're trying to take every break during school to drink. And one of my rules of thumb is when you actually have breaks between classes, you always go to the water fountain first because you don't have that much time between classes. So if you're going to have a minute to, you know, grab a drink and try to go through twice. A quick sip is about an ounce. And so, again, you think that's not very much fluid. So you, mm-hmm, want to try to go through two or three times the water fountain and then get to your next class, because that helps a lot.
And when kids come home from school and they've had a big day, before dinner's on the table, what can they eat that will help replenish,
mm-hmm,
them without spoiling their appetite? I would imagine that these kids are going to be really hungry,
right,
anyway, so dinner's not going to be spoiled, but you want to, mm-hmm, give them things that'll be good for them, replenish,
mm-hmm,
what they've lost during,
yeah,
the day.
Well, one of the best things that I think they can do is usually if you take in fluids first, let's say you're taking in extra fluids maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes before you eat, and those fluids have a chance in the stomach to try to start getting absorbed. That's what I like. I like actually after a workout when you get home, if it's been a half an hour since you practice or something, maybe you take in milk or chocolate milk then, or orange juice or apple juice or grape juice or something that's going to give you a good base of carbohydrate to kind of start replenishing your muscle energy that you've burned in exercise. It starts the rehydration process again, so it's fluid, which is good. And then if you can get protein in that too, particularly if you've been working out really hard or you've really, you know, you've used a lot of energy, it's better to have protein with it. So that's where if you had milk or soy milk or chocolate milk, that's actually preferable to juice because it has carbohydrate and protein. Mm-hmm, to help not only replenish muscle energy, the carbohydrate, but repair the muscle tissue, which is what protein does. And so these studies, you might have seen the studies on chocolate milk, and I think maybe we've talked about some of those in the past, and it's not like there's a chocolate milk is magical. It's just the idea that it's carbohydrate, a little bit more carbohydrate because of the sugar and protein. And so maybe have that first, and then 15 minutes later you start eating, and maybe don't drink that much with your food, because sometimes kids will tell me, gosh, I'm so hungry, and mm-hmm. then I just start eating and drinking all at once, and then I get full really fast, and I can't get enough calories in. And so drink first, and then don't drink as much with your meal, and then try to drink more later.
Oh, interesting. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guest today, registered dietitian Susan Kundrat of Nutrition on the Move. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, I invite your telephone calls this afternoon for Susan, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. WILL. We've had some phone problems this afternoon. We think we've got them fixed. Our apologies to those folks who called in a little earlier, and apparently they couldn't hear us. We could hear them.
Okay.
They couldn't hear us. So give us a shot here this afternoon. If you've got a question about diet, nutrition, and exercise, give us a call. Talk to Susan, and she'll help you out. She's a sports and wellness nutritionist and the owner of Nutrition on the Move. She specializes in developing personalized nutrition plans for athletes and the general public. She's also an adjunct lecturer with the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at the University of Illinois and the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. The publisher is Coach's Choice. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. By the way, you'll find Susan on the web at www.eatandmove, that's EATNMOVE.com. And I think we've got a couple of listeners ready to talk with us now. Let's go first to a caller on line one in Mahomet. Hi.
Hi.
Ah, it's working.
All right.
Good to talk with you.
What I'm wondering is, if Susan has any recommendations for Oriental restaurants?
Sure. I do think there are some good choices that you can make if you go Asian restaurants, if you go Chinese, Korean. Certainly there are a lot of options that are going to be healthier choices, and even quick takeout places. The biggest thing, I think, is how the food's prepared. Because if it's going to be, again, deep fat fried, for example, if you have sweet and sour chicken, well, that tastes really good, but it's probably not going to be the healthiest option because it's so loaded in fat and calories. So maybe if you love that, that's something you split and then you get something else. But in general, if you think you take a pretty lean meat, like if you take the chicken or you take the lean pork or lean beef and you have that stir-fried with vegetables, let's say chicken and vegetables or beef and broccoli or something like that, then those are generally going to be pretty good choices. Of course, you're going to have high sodium, and you can ask for no MSG or ask how it's prepared and go light on the soy sauce, those kinds of things to help. But generally, if you have your meat and you have vegetables, that's great. And I think it's always a good help to have steamed vegetables on the side, because every place will do that. And sometimes what you can do is get another serving of steamed vegetables and just mix that in the regular meal.
Okay.
And that works really well if you're eating out as well. And even things like steamed dumplings as opposed to deep fat fried, those generally work great. And I think there are several Thai restaurants around here that have opened up that are really good. And I think a lot of those places, too, will have kind of the small salad to begin with and things. So you can actually get a pretty good meal and not really have that many calories or that much fat and still have a good balance. I think you can get more vegetables at Asian restaurants, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, happy dining. Next, we talk with a listener in Urbana on line two. Hi.
Hi. I may have called in once before with a comment about something else I heard on WILL. It was the columnist for the Washington Post column on...
The Lean Plate Club?
Right. She said that 100 calories a day difference can mean a 10-pound difference over the course of a year. And a lot of us slowly gain weight over time, and those pounds add up over the years.
Sure do.
And, you know, 100 calories a day, I can look at something and say, oh, well, you know, I don't really need that 100 calories in that particular item. I think I'll just cut that one out today. Whereas some of the bigger decisions are more complex. I mean, I can't remember how many calories things have, but I can easily look at something and say, that's a whole lot more than 100 calories.
Mm-hmm.
But something else that I saw was in a recent issue of Consumer Reports on Health, and it was saying that most of us who are overweight don't realize, looking at ourselves in the mirror, how overweight we are. And it was using research a group had done about easy markers. For women, it's size 16. You begin to have elevated risk of heart problems.
Mm-hmm.
Size 18 is much more. And for men, I think it's waist size 36. Well, we were traveling recently, and I was just watching people in the airport, and I was realizing a lot of men wear their pants below their big bellies.
Mm-hmm.
And so their pants waist size on their pants is a lot less than what it would be if they actually had their pants at their supposed waist instead of down under their bellies. And sort of tossing that out and wondering how men perceive their waist size. Of course, it's always easier to ask questions about other people than to do something myself, but
mm-hmm.
I just thought it was interesting. And those two things have kind of gotten me moving on making a concerted effort to pay more attention to losing my baby fat now that my baby is an adult. But those kinds of things make it easier to change habits. And I really recommend, too, the column that Sandra Otten writes in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. She's got some good ideas
right.
for making healthy changes that fit into our own lives and deciding what we're willing to do. So anyway, thanks very much. I'm enjoying listening to you. And you before mentioned portions on plates.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go over that again? Because I haven't always been able to focus on what you were saying at the time you were saying it.
Okay.
Yeah, you have a lot of great comments that we can maybe talk more about, too. As far as the portion goes, one thing that I think is helpful, certainly you hear a lot about just using smaller plates, which I think is a big help. So maybe using medium-sized plates when you have a meal instead of the large plates. And I'm a big fan of actually plating out meals. Because if you do that at home and you take your plate and you divide it into quarters and you have one quarter of your plate as a protein, let's say that's chicken breast or that's lean pork chop, one quarter as a grain, maybe that's rice or pasta or corn or peas, one quarter of fruit and one quarter of vegetable. And if you just do that on your plate, so you've broken down your plate into quarters and you eat that way, generally we get full with a smaller plate of food because we have more fiber. If we have more fruits and vegetables, we have more fiber. If your grain's a whole grain, you have more
mm-hmm.
fiber. And what happens is you eat maybe the same amount of food you normally would, but the calories are lower. And your comment is really, it's really a good comment on this 100 calories. 100 calories a day, like you say, over a year is about 10 pounds. And 100 calories is not very much. I mean, that's a half of most candy bars, if that. I mean, that's not very much in terms of food, so you can see where if we get used to eating a little bit more or just have that extra donut in the morning or whatever it might be, that adds up very fast. And when I'm working with people who are also, you know, trying to start an exercise program, which if they haven't been doing that and they're looking at losing weight, obviously you have to look at activity and just what you're burning. That's how we really start, is maybe try to get 10 more minutes of walking a day. Because 10 minutes for some people who haven't been exercising very much, they could easily burn 100 calories because it's just so hard for their body to do that. It might be 2 5-minute spots. But I think looking at that both ways, could I get 10 more minutes of activity in a day? Could I be aware of maybe 100 more calories somewhere? And part of what's come out of this 100 calorie a day kind of idea is all those little packs you see, 100 calorie pack mm-hmm. of cookies and crackers and that kind of stuff. Part of it is portion and really being aware of that portion size. And I like the idea. I haven't read that article, and the idea of looking at your, you know, really what are some markers like size 16 or size 18 and pant size and those kinds of things, because everybody's different. And I think you can be overweight and be very fit and healthy and active and eat well, and that decreases your risk even if you're overweight, no question. But for a lot of us, I think we just get used to, we see more people who are bigger, and that's what we see now because it's so much more common. And so we do sometimes have to be reminded ourselves of saying, gosh, how much weight have I gained since I was 20? If I've gained 40 pounds, maybe that is a little much, you know, and really taking that into account and seeing what we can do individually.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Champaign on line 3. Hi.
Hi. I was calling in with two quick questions. One is, what is the normal consumption for the sodium on the packaging of MGs? And then two, what's your opinion about Gatorade as a true sports drink?
Well, the first question, the normal consumption of sodium, you know, we really try in general for most of us to keep that below 2,000 milligrams. And there are some recommendations now even less than that, 1,500 milligrams or 1,800 milligrams. But a good guide in general is 2,000 milligrams a day. So if you look at a product, obviously, it's going to depend on what you're going to eat with that. For example, you might have processed meat on your sandwich, but maybe that's really the only high sodium thing you have for the meal. And if that's 300 milligrams, well, that's pretty reasonable. But if you do have a frozen item that's 800 milligrams and you're having something else that's 400 milligrams, you can see where that can add up really fast. So with sodium, the idea is to find the things that you can add in that don't offer a lot of salt. For example, you know, you add in, again, maybe carrots or something like a banana or an apple or something to your meal, and those things aren't really going to add much salt or sodium. So maybe your main item that's a lean cuisine is higher, and that could be very reasonable for that meal because you're not adding in anything else that's high in salt. But that is a real concern, and we do have to be aware of that. Your second question about sport drinks like Gatorade, I always look at fluids as a function. You know, what's the function of the fluid? And so when somebody's working out hard and they're sweating a lot, I think that's the gauge. If you're sweating a lot and you're really going more than 30 minutes or so, most people are going to benefit from a sport drink because they're losing sodium, potassium, particularly sodium. We know from tons of studies that most people exercise better with a little energy coming in, and it shouldn't be very much. It should be more like a sport drink. It shouldn't be a lot of calories, and it's got to be easy to digest carbohydrate. And so something like Gatorade or Powerade or sport drinks like that, I think the key is finding something you like to drink. You know,
okay. I've got one last caller here I want to squeeze in before
sure.
we run out of time. But back to your visualization, that's such a great, powerful thing to have, to be able to do a pat of butter in terms of fat. What about, how many milligrams is in a teaspoon of salt? Maybe that would be a good.
Yeah, that's about 2,400 milligrams of sodium.
Wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
one
that
teaspoon.
Puts it into perspective pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Right, it sure does. That's not very much.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, our last caller this afternoon, listener in Savoy on line 1. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I was just calling. I had a quick question. I do a lot of endurance sports, and my brother is more into the weightlifting and muscle building. And he was saying that he was reading a lot of articles about the disadvantages of soy for men. Can you maybe comment on that?
Well, I think
as far as like testosterone levels, or
right?
Like that.
Well, soy has natural estrogen type compounds in it, and so I think the two things about soy. One is we don't know what happens when you take in large amounts of it, and I guess large amounts, I would say over 3 servings a day, over 20 or 25 grams a day of soy protein. So certainly if you would say, yeah, I'm going to take a soy shake because I'm bodybuilding and I'm on extra protein and I'm getting 50 grams a day, I would say that's way too much. The other thing that I really recommend with soy is can be very healthy food to add to your diet, but the best way to use soy is the natural soy products. So let's say, for example, tofu or soy milk or tempeh or miso, or, you know, using the soy foods as opposed to a soy supplement. Or we know less about when we break it down into soy protein powder or soy protein isolates. So if you can get more of the kind of true soy foods then and have maybe a serving or two a day, no problem. What I'd be more concerned with is these large amounts in the powders and in the shakes and that kind of stuff, because, again, we have a lot of data to say it's very safe and healthy in normal consumption patterns and Asian cultures, 1 to 2 servings a day. But we don't have much to say these mm-hmm. you know, powders
really
and
loaded
things.
Up.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. There we'll leave it. And, Susan, the first Monday in September is Labor Day.
Yes.
So we'll see you on Tuesday following Labor
that
Day.
Sounds that sounds good.
Is that good?
I think
okay,
that'll work
that'll
out.
Work. Very good. Susan Kundrat, she joins us usually on the first Monday of the month, unless it's a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And she's here to talk with us about diet, nutrition, and exercise once a month. She is the author of 101 Sports Nutrition Tips. You'll find her on the web at www.eatandmove.com.